Thank you for listening to the Nate Jackson Podcasting Network.
Man, I'm sitting here with this is about to be hella. Listen, certain, you know, you interview certain people and just like a level of professionalism that you must make sure that you have. But I'm not saying I'm gonna lack professionalism, but this is my dog to the point that friendship first. Like, absolutely. We both Q dogs. We were just roommates. Man. We've known each other before jokes.
Facts.
And things are going good for both of us. Respectively. Mm-hmm. But in the last year and some change, Jade has shot from 4 subscribers to 914,000 subscribers. Man. And can't go grocery shopping without somebody saying taglines from his stuff.
It's a blessing, man. It's a blessing, bro. Yeah, man. It's been the road. Like I said, we've been on each other for what?
Shit. It's 2020.
17
years.
Shit, 2000. What's 2003?
I'm only 18, so.
Right. Right. So I don't know how old you are. I'm 20. You know what I'm saying? So I met you when I was 5. You know what I'm saying? I mean, nah. Yeah, bro. It's been the minute. It's been the push. But yeah, it's a blessing, bro. This is fun stuff. To finally be able to do this and see some kind of success from it. You know what I mean? So yeah, bro, it's fun. Good times. You doing your thing. I'm doing my thing. We doing our thing.
Yeah, but this ain't about me. Let's talk about you.
It's about us.
But here's what I want to get at, though.
What's
right?
up, man?
Because there's a lot of different podcasts people do, and a lot of questions be the same cookie cutter nonsense.
Yeah.
Why'd you start? Where'd you start? All that stuff. And I'm over it.
Okay. Yeah. You've been doing a lot of these too, so you probably didn't ask that question once or twice.
I've avoided it every time. I never had the interest in doing the same kind of podcast you could get somewhere else. You know what I mean?
I feel you, yeah.
So let's just talk about it. I'll just ask questions that I know answers to that people, I feel like they need to know.
Right.
So what fraternity are you a member of?
Oh, the Exotic Erotic. No, that's just it. Yeah, the Omega Psi Phi fraternity.
Okay, do you smoke?
I do not smoke.
Do you drink?
I do not drink.
Do you take pills?
I don't pop pills. 100% sober living. Yep.
There we go. You athletic?
The athletic. I mean, I sip this coffee and I'm like, oh shit, this is some new shit. I drink iced coffee and shit.
Okay.
So. We can cuss, right?
Yeah, you're already cussing.
Facts. And you didn't stop me either, so you know what I'm
it was clean until you did that.
Damn.
No, I'm just fucking with you. Ah, now you okay. Feel good. Oh, motherfucking big shitty fucking face. Yeah.
What's up?
So.
No drinking, no smoking, man. Coffee. Yeah.
How many siblings you got?
Man, God rest his soul. My oldest brother passed 2 years ago, but I have 6. I'm the youngest of 7.
Youngest of 7?
Yeah.
And where'd you grow up?
South Central LA, boom, as you can see. San Diego as well, back and forth. My mom and my pops, they split up. My dad moved back to San Diego. My mom had us out here in LA. And by the time I got to high school, my mom sent me to my pops on some boys and other shit. It was for the better, though. It worked out. Here mm-hmm. we are. You know what I'm saying? So L.A., and then San Diego, and then back to L.A., and then to college. So mm-hmm. growing up, I was 17 when I moved to the Bay, so I basically grew up there, too.
Okay. And where did you go to high school at?
San Diego. It's a school called Sweetwater High School. Shout out to Sue High. And National City, San Diego, which is a small little city, 10 minutes from Tijuana. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah. Where'd you go to college at?
UC Berkeley. The UC Berkeley. Cal, you know, up in the Bay Area.
What was your major?
Filmmaking. Yeah. Been at this for a minute.
Did you take any other filmmaking other than that?
Outside of 24. I graduated in 2004. Yes, I'm that old. And then 24. 20? In the 20. Yep, that's what it is. Yep. And in 2014, I went to NYFA up the street.
What is NYFA?
New York Film Academy. Shout out to y'all, too. What's happening? Just to kind of revamp, I have a degree in film from 2004. 10 years later, I want to see what are they teaching now? You know what I'm saying? Like, am I missing anything new and shit like that? So I went back for like a quick course, about 2 month course, mm-hmm. and learned how to use 16 millimeter film on the Reflex cameras. And that was dope. And so, yeah, 2014, I went to NYFA. got the little certificate just to sharpen my tools, you know, and bam, here we are here doing this.
How long were you creating before you realized that you'd be fine in front of the camera?
Okay. I mean, if I had to be honest, I started being goofy and shit in front of the camera. You know, back in the day before there was YouTube, you know, I had a camera and me and the homies were shooting sketches back then. And I was clowning back then. I got some shit that I thought was funny as hell. You know, but you put it on camera now, you put it on YouTube, you're like, this shit's trash. But I've always knew that I should be in front of the camera as well. But I had a love for behind the camera, directing and editing and stuff. So I was cool with being behind the camera too. As you know, I was doing that for years.
And then I'll interject this, that you had a lack of other people who knew how to operate the shit.
Oh, man.
You can't get in front of the camera if ain't nobody operating.
Back in the day, did nobody know how to use a camera at all.
So you taught yourself, hence right. Put you behind the camera.
Yeah. If I'm going to be involved in this in some way, shape, form, or fashion, if I can't be the actor, at least I'll be the guy that's shooting the camera to make using the camera to make it look good. And I had fun doing that, too. So either way, I was enjoying myself.
How many skits, when I say short form entertainment videos, would you say you've made since birth?
Since birth?
If you had to guess.
Ooh. Okay. So I would say over the last 3 years, it's been like 200 and something, maybe like 212 sketches. So before that, I'm probably
212 is pretty specific. Did you recently look at that count? Are you keeping a tally? You said that I'm like not, an inmate keeps track of days.
Nigga, for real.
212.
Yeah, 212 and 2.5 sketches left. You know what I'm saying? And then counting, nigga. Now, I think I saw it. I never looked for it, but I will see it. Like sometimes it'll tell you like how many videos you got when you go into like the little background. And I was like, oh, shit, that many? I didn't even notice that. But I think overall maybe like 230, to be honest with you.
All right, cool. So to me, everything we just talked about is surface.
Okay.
It's just to give people an idea of where you're from,
yep,
the household you were raised in,
mm-hmm,
your influences as a kid, your cool experience on the internet, your passion for filmmaking,
right,
and your ability to be in front of the camera and be a star. Now right. I want to get technical.
Technical, man.
I want to get technical. I want to know, like, where do you believe, out of all the stuff we just covered, or even if we didn't, is your greatest influence for where you get your comedic eye?
Okay, my comedic eye.
Mm-hmm, because you know what's funny, but how?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Go on, sit on that one.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Nate Jackson Radio Show.
Well, thank you, Nicky. Because I know the answer, but I want to make sure I give you, I want to think about it, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to take the next 5 seconds to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That
counts too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Damn, bro. I'm going to say high school, watching Martin, bro. That's probably this the time in between the five. Of course, there's other great shows, but that's my favorite show. I think that's the best show on TV at that time.
Favorite episode of Martin, go.
Don't have a favorite episode.
Favorite two, go.
Ooh, favorite two. Let me give you a couple.
Okay.
Shit. The Shorty Doo-Wop one.
Okay.
I just didn't want to go to Arizona with that. You know what I'm saying? That one. The other one was the kid came on the show. Kid from Kid and Play.
Kid Reed.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Kid Reed. Mm-hmm. Yep. Shit. Chilligan's Island.
Oh, yeah.
Chilligan's Island. That ain't no damn puppy. Yeah. That's my shit. It's so many, bro. The one where the nigga, they tried to find out what time he went to work.
Where he worked at, yeah.
It was like a little. It wasn't a strip show, but it was like a
warehouse. Wasn't
a warehouse. But no. He was dancing. He was modeling. He was doing like a benefit, and he was like somebody was bidding on him, and that was funny. When Biggie came,
mm-hmm.
Biggie came. So. Oh man, so many.
So this is my perspective. I feel like a lot of people that are from like the hood,
right,
to stay out of trouble, spent hella hours in that living room,
man,
and got a lot of TV under their belt.
And
so a lot of the like hood LA dudes are very well versed in multicam sitcoms and stuff like that. So how much would you say what you watched on television outside of Martin has influenced you today?
Oh, I was watching TV all day because either you're going to be one of them kids that stay on the inside, or are you gonna be one of them kids on the outside, off the porch? And I was always off the porch, so a lot of times my mom was like, "Hey, keep your ass in the house." And I'm like, "Damn, okay, well, what I'm gonna do in the house? Cause the house, I love TV, but not that much. I love the outside first. You know what I'm saying? I love the outside like a motherfucker." So my mom was like, "Nah, when the sun go down, be in the house." You know what I'm saying? So I'm always watching TV. So Charles in Charge back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, just seeing the dynamic of a show. So to answer your question even with more clarity, like, how do you know what's funny? It's just I try to use myself properly. Like, I'm a big ass dude. Most people, I'm most likely gonna be the Debo or the big scary dude from Malcolm and Eddie. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? But which I can still be that too, but be funny. So how can I make myself funny? I'm not goofy like Martin. He's my favorite. I can't be like him because he's so small, but he's aggressive.
Mm.
So it makes for good comedy.
Mm-hmm.
To see a small guy look up to a dude that's bigger than him and go like, you know, psh, nigga, what's happening? You know what I'm saying? That's
right.
Martin. Kevin Hart's the opposite. He's a small guy and plays the victim in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? That's Kevin Hart's thing. Two different, they're around the same size, but they got different personalities who make with it, and they both work. I'm a big dude. I can't be the scary guy. Like, I'm scared of you, but I have a girl in my life that's bossing me around.
Mm-hmm.
And the big guy loses. You know what I'm saying? And people like that. Whether they know it or not, they like that. So if I'm winning all the time, it's okay, you're already a big dude. So chances are, in the movie, you're supposed to be winning. You walk through, pat pockets, and turn dudes upside down, and the change falls out their pockets, and you win. That's not funny all the time. I try to do something different. So I feel like that's why they made Tommy so, like, funny and so reserved. He dressed nice. Not quiet, but, like, even keel. He wasn't aggressive because he's 6'4". You know what I'm saying? Like, 250. So I'm like, okay, how can I make this thing pop? So the Tiberius came first,
mm-hmm.
and that blew. And I was blessed to have that go. And I was like, okay, I got to find some other way to make myself memorable without being Tiberius every time.
Mm-hmm.
So every time they see me, hey man, say 1-800 was at it. All right, boom, shout out. But I said, let me do some other shit, like brand another phrase. I'm coming too. That was like the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lesbian homie wasn't the phrase, but it was the title alone. And then the whole crew was stupid, you know. And then so we all remember, what's up? That's right. A catchphrase that we all know to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made the show go along. That's a nuance that made the show go along with him being funny, the cast being great, the writing being dope. But, like, so I feel like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, you got this cool kid, mm-hmm. tall, and you got this cousin who's short, kind of super square.
Preppy.
Mm-hmm. And the opposites attract. The opposites make good comedy. You know what I'm saying? Al Bundy, I watched that too. Al Bundy and Marcy went back and forth. But they had a dumb sister. I mean, a dumb daughter. Mm-hmm. That's Hillary Banks.
Yeah.
Kelly Bundy, same thing. So it's just a format that I've been watching my whole life.
Right, but Fresh Prince was, the Carlton Wills dynamic played so much that
right.
it was like a show within a show.
Absolutely. It could have been a spinoff, and it should have been a spinoff,
definitely.
If you ask me.
It should have.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
They still can. While
right.
Will's doing everything all over again.
Shit.
So my goal, what I want to achieve on the podcast is for people to understand, because they watch our content.
Right.
Right? Whether we're singers, dancers, comedians, magicians, fighters, whatever. But the one thing we all have in common is we're entrepreneurs, we're self-made, mm-hmm. and a lot of us are self-taught.
Right.
And we all, in our own right, are really genius.
Like, absolutely. We're, like,
there's a genius to you to watch your brain tinker, to watch you process,
mm-hmm.
to watch an idea come to life, you know what I mean?
Right.
And
right.
so feel free to expose that, because they don't know that. They see you and they think, oh, that's just a big ass brolic nigga. They don't know the thousands of hours put in at an editing bay. They don't know the thousands of hours put into writing. They don't know mm-hmm. how much. Let me put it this way. I'll let you tell it. How much would you say you've sacrificed to get to this point?
Man, you know, because he was there, right? He was right down the hall. You know what I'm saying? So I sacrifice sleep, and a lot of times, I mean, you hear that a lot. You hear Diddy saying, no, I don't stop, I don't sleep, I sleep when I'm dead, and that type of shit. You hear that all the time. And sometimes, I mean, in my case, in our case, it was like that. You know what I'm saying? Of course, we ain't trying to die, but I mean, you're trying to get a sketch. Consistency is the biggest, I think, component for success. One of the biggest. You know what I'm saying? And just keep putting out content. In our case, because that's what we do. We do content. So, yeah, I don't be going out. You know what I'm saying? I'm in that room. Once I have a video shot and chopped, and now I'm chopping it. And when it went from 1 minute, that was one thing. But now it went for 3 minutes plus, and it's like, ooh. So basically, whatever it took you to get that 1 minute sketch out for IG in 2017, and then 2018 hit, everybody started messing with YouTube again. Mm-hmm. And that 3 minutes plus for Facebook as well, that's basically triple the time. You know, however long it takes you to 1 minute, you got to do 3 minutes, you know what I'm saying, at least 3 minutes. So that shit take time, bro. He knows he didn't pass by my door, man.
Yeah, but I don't even mean on the, like, what it took to create it level. I mean, like, as a grown-ass man, compared to our friends and family and frat brothers who live regular lives, what you'd call regular, mm-hmm. what have you sacrificed to get to this point?
Oh. If you're not talking about time, I mean.
I'm talking big picture. You got some kids?
Oh, you talking about, oh, you talking about dad? Nah, hey, bro, no, I don't have either one. Not yet. That's the goal. And you going, yes, if you want to do this, if you're serious about this, not saying you can't have kids and get a wife and all that stuff or get a husband, but of course that stuff slows you down because you have other things to focus on. For the last 20 years, I've been focusing on me. You know what I'm saying? Making sure, and this career is not something that you can go take 4 years of med school or a law school, 6 years of med school, and then become a doctor or a lawyer and be successful. You know what I'm saying? You have to, you can put all the time you want in it. You can go to school for the shit. You don't have to go to school for it, but I went to school for it and still didn't see no real success, you know, no real financial success until a couple years ago. You know what I'm saying? A year and a half, really.
So now stop right there and let's transition into what clicked.
For me, and you know, because you were there, at one point in time, I was just shooting. I was just DPing for everybody. I'm a comic. I'm a stand-up comic. And so anybody in my stand-up comedy world, friend-wise, that was shooting a sketch, back then, before the phones was popping, there was no real camera phones being used as cameras back mm-hmm. then. We're talking about 7, 8 years ago, 9, even 10. And people were actually hiring DPs to shoot yeah. shit. And I was that. I was like, well, I'm a DP for hire. That was my way of trying to get out of my regular job, which was teaching back then. And so that was what it was. I was the guy behind the camera all the time.
What'd you teach?
Oh, shit, high school.
Just all classes?
So history, math, science. Mm-hmm. I was a sub, so I had to be kind of well-rounded and all that shit.
Okay.
Yeah, so that I did that. And I was trying to lead that, so I was trying to segue to shooting. I mean, you can't really necessarily get paid for acting unless you get blessed enough to audition and book it, and you get paid off that.
Yep.
So I was doing that for years, auditioning, uh-huh. not getting calls back for a lot of shit, then getting called back for certain things, booking certain things here and there, but not enough to really earn a living and build a savings. So I was teaching still. And then I was also shooting.
Mm-hmm.
I was living in Hawthorne, driving up to the Valley for you, Clayton, Rana, Dion Lack. You know what I'm saying? The list goes on of people I was shooting for back then. And BT. And so I put myself in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. And that's what clicked, to be honest with you. Because mm-hmm. I feel like there aren't too many people that look like me doing this. And I think anything that's fresh, you know what I'm saying? Not saying it's the first to be done, first time being done, but to be fresh at that time.
No, but I want to interject there too. So, like, I feel like you're typecasting yourself, which is fine. Because, you know, that's what you were raised by television, where it was all built on typecasting. Mm-hmm. I think you can expand it. If you want to be the guy that gets hung upside down and chain shook out of your pocket, go ahead and be that guy. You can be the victim too. The Rock got beat up by pygmies in the movie.
Oh yeah, I gotta be the victim.
But the thing is, we're used to it because that's all we saw. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If black people were always lawyers on TV, we'd be in real life. There'd be hella more nigga lawyers.
Right. Right. No, right. But I don't think I have typecast myself because I made myself the victim. I might not have been physically thrown upside down because, I mean, a guy that's much smaller than me couldn't physically do it. But I the roommate pays all the bills. I'm losing every damn episode. I'm getting
right, but I'm saying you can explore the concept of it happening. Kiwan holding you upside down and change falling out your pockets. Tell me that's not funny.
How would he do it though? He would have to stand on the.
You just the same way you fake the shake the other one. Just figure it out.
I could do that.
Kiwan is a midget. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, a little person to be proper. But if you can imagine a little person holding him upside down, like, give me all the money, big homie.
Yeah,
like,
man.
There's ways to do it. But
I did it.
I want to say, in my opinion, and we've had conversations where you're like, that's not what it was, Nate. But I felt like a confidence came that puts you in front of the camera more frequently and more hilariously, more leading man-ish. You know what I mean? Like you were just picking like this is what I'm going to do, I'm the guy. Versus before, it was like, all right, if we both do it, something happened to me. But you're like, nah, it was always in me, and I always want to do it. I was trying to help y'all. So am I wrong, or is there a 1%? Is there a tinge of confidence that came from someone?
I'm going to have to keep it
100. What pussy did you get? What?
No.
What put you over where you were like, you know what? Let's go.
Nah, because I was always auditioning. Every time I was always auditioning, and you could see me on a TV show.
Right.
And it's still on camera.
Right, right.
And you'll see me in my personal life being behind the camera. Only literally because Craig didn't know how to shoot. Because
nobody can hold a camera.
That's really what it was. And then... only thing that changed, because even when I started again, I went to Sundance Film Festival, bro.
Okay.
That's what clicked. And I told you, my boy won Sundance.
But do you get what I'm getting at?
I get it, but...
For everybody, there's different catalysts. Like, I've done quite a few shows now.
Right, right.
And there's something for everyone where it was like, now I'm going really, really. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was
so
it.
So you went to Sundance... And somebody was like, who you respected and knew,
and I saw him grow.
Around and won.
I saw him grow. Yeah, at one point in time, I knew more about this than he did. This industry, this filmmaking shit, and he didn't know nothing. He was just an athlete that respected the art and loved the art, but didn't know how to produce. You know what I'm saying? Now he can teach me about producing. You know what I'm saying? I know about directing and writing, and he can teach me more about the game and certain things.
Who is this?
My boy Namdi.
Oh yeah, you talk about not
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Asamuwa. Asamuwa, yeah.
That's wonderful.
So I remember us being in our dorm rooms back in the day, like watching like movies and doing trivia. And then as a filmmaker, he was a business major and we both played ball together. Then he's Nigerian.
Yeah, a business major tipped it for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Not the Namdi Yasum. No, I wasn't sold on him being Nigerian.
He could have easily just been a regular dude.
Yeah, just with a fucked up name. You said business and a fucked up name. Nigeria.
Niger.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and then he learned the game. He got into the game and just became a student. And he learned how to make films. He's not a director per se, but he's a producer, and so he makes films that way. And I said, this nigga is doing this shit.
But that's now.
That was 2017.
2017, he wins Sundance.
Yeah.
You witness it with your eyes.
Yeah. And I was there. I was like, oh, shit, this nigga.
And it affects your heart. And your soul is like,
When I got home, I had a battery. I had a rejuvenated battery. Yeah. Like, I got to do something different. And it's not just shooting other people's images.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just shooting other people's stuff.
Shooting for other people.
Right. And nothing wrong with that. I enjoyed it.
Which is fine, but you was a gun for hire.
But
and
yeah,
now you're
yeah.
like, Let me shoot bullets for me now.
Right. And so I started using people who didn't know what they was doing with the camera and just telling them on the spot, bro, hold this camera. I'm going to focus it for you. Just hold it like this and just push that red button and that's record and say action.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, all right, man. You know what I'm saying? Before, I was so gung-ho on having somebody that knew what they were doing before I gave them.
Yeah. And you got to the point where you said, you know what, fuck it.
I got
to
just do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, and it was a catalyst for somebody else who was on the show that does a lot of different characters,
yeah.
Because they didn't have other actors. They're fuck it, I'll just do every actor.
Facts.
So you were in a situation where you're like, let me just get the homies to point and shoot this damn thing.
Yeah.
And now they got a little skills to them too. They did some research, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because it did by default. They're doing it so much, Initially, the Sketch House, man, I didn't even know nobody there except Clayton Tyree. And then when you start coming over there, you was already coming over there. But then when you were there, I knew you. But I was asking people who I didn't know, hey, man, hey, what's up, bro? Hey, you mind hold the camera for me real quick? Hold the camera. And it was like, yeah, I don't know how to do it, man. Damn, this shit heavy, man. I said, so I didn't even know them yet. I was just like, I shot Tiberius on, the guys that shot Tiberius for me, it was like a combination of like five guys.
Hold the camera.
Exactly.
Yeah. You knew what you had in mind. You were like, let me get this vision and bring it to fruition by any means necessary. Right. Everyone else is a puzzle piece. Let me get it.
Right.
And so that's what I think changed. I think a real catalyst was, one, the motivation, two, the means, three, the knowledge, and then four, the fuck it. And the fuck it was, I'm just going to get this done.
Every day.
I'm just going to show up at Sketch House. And the one thing that was that we all had in common is that we wanted to create. Right. Sketch House was a clusterfuck. But at the end of the day, everyone, if you did get up, get dressed, and drive way the fuck out there,
right,
you wanted to do something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
it's we all had that the same aim on that.
It's a tip to yes when you ask somebody, hey, man, do you mind? Like, oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, no matter what they're doing, everybody's there to work. So right. I think the Sketch House was a microcosm of creative genius.
Absolutely.
If for those of you who don't know, there's some guys that lived in a house. It's Aaron, KP,
and Brandon.
And Brandon.
Need more, yeah.
Yeah, they're all from Detroit.
I think Aaron's from Chicago, but
okay. Midwest. But they all these Midwest niggas, and they all lived in a house together. Yeah. And working with Jahan Jones, Jahan had shoot days where he would shoot 5 and 6 sketches in one day, and he would do it on Thursdays. And so it became so consistent that people would just start showing up on Thursdays. Like, I know some shooting going on. Right. So there was like 4 or 5 main creators that were there all trying to shoot at once. It just got to the point where it was like, you know, action. Like, come on, man, we shooting. Like, it got
your
to that point.
You go, you get one, and your turn.
You go over there, we go over there. We gonna go down the street. Hey, you want to go down the street? Like, I'm talking.
The whole block.
In 1 week, probably 50 skits being shot and on the internet. Like, if you saw the house in person, you'd be like, yo, this is where everything was shot.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it felt.
Yep.
And the only other time that I saw that happen, the same microcosm, was Batch and Daystorm and Splack and all them using that elementary school at Skunk Park. Which it's not really called Skunk Park, but they'd be skunks in the park. And so,
right.
But when you look at, when you go over there and you're like, yo, that's the bush that there's always in it. Like, there's 100 million views of videos at these places.
Yep.
And so Sketch House enabled us to go to a place with like-minded individuals that wanted to all work.
Yep.
And whether they knew what they were doing or not,
their intentions were good.
People's intentions were good.
Right.
And so didn't really shoot there a lot, but you would go hang out, soak up, and then pick out people to work with that you
gotta
that cast. You like their content.
You got a cast. And I was doing that. Like, I'm not just, you here? Well, jump, hop in the sketch.
Nah.
Nothing wrong with that. That's
you looked at Sade and saw, I'm coming too. Like, you saw that.
I would write down on my phone, had like maybe 45 different like premises for series or for the sketches. And I was like, I need a girl that's has a strong enough personality to boss me around and it'd be believable. You know what I'm saying? And so I heard her because she's loud. You know what I'm saying?
Good. She's I don't feel like hold
on. On the real life,
you gonna order fries and you don't got no ketchup.
Right. I said, what's your name? She said, Sade. I said, damn, my name is Sade. She said, for real? I said, yeah. She said, where you from? I'm from Inglewood. Say less. You want to shoot?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And then that's how I'm Coming To came.
And then she was fine.
Yeah,
she wasn't fine then. I don't know when Sade got fine, but she used to not be fine over there.
I don't know nothing about that. I thought she was attractive when I
first
saw her.
When you first saw Sade, you were like, yo.
I saw her in a couple of sketches.
She was around, and I'm like, she cute, but like, Sade fine.
I think what it was is that people.
Did she get a booty job?
Nah, she had buns.
That's what I'm saying.
Every time I saw her, she was sitting down.
That motherfucker got on a diaper, nigga. She got a biscuit.
She got buns galore. Yeah,
she's
slim, but she got cake.
She be doing goofy shit with her toes on the internet.
Bro, what's she
doing? And she gonna be like, Nate, how you gonna put me out? But
that's how she talked too.
She was in she's in this bar stool, right? Uh-huh. And she's really thin, and she's dumb athletic. Like she does high jumper hurdles.
She's like a long jumper.
But then she got pooter on her like a dancer. And so she's sitting up in this chair, and it's like thin.
Yeah, right.
And then it goes down thin, and then you look under the bar stool. You know how bar stools have the bar across where you rest your heels?
Right.
She got just her big toes holding on to the thing under the table.
This nigga's wild, man.
And I know most niggas look at it and go, ooh, look at all that cake. I did. I was like, cake and what the fuck? Like I zoomed in and I screenshot it and I sent it to her and then I called and she answered like, nigga, come on. I know.
I'm gonna keep it. I never noticed that, bro.
I'm like,
are you a foot guy?
A little?
I'm not. Like, even with women,
it matters to me.
I understand. This nigga's Marcus Graham from, you know what I'm saying? From Boomerang and shit.
But you can literally be like, she doesn't have to have feet. And I can't. I'm like, nah, we're going to be comfortable.
We're going to have feet. Chill.
It's going to be some feet on my lap. I want to do foot rubs without.
I'm just Shade now.
Got pretty feet, but I don't know why she do goofy shit with them. Like, why is she grabbing stuff?
I never noticed that. Thing. I don't know.
It's not like her feet are beat up. She has beautiful feet. Yeah, but she's like, ooh, coffee. Like, with her feet.
With her feet.
I don't understand.
Stick them up. Right. Hey,
I just want to be like, I'm going to go to somebody who teaches you how to use your feet. And then she'd be like, I'm coming too. And then we fix her.
Right.
Something got to happen. So,
shout out to Sade.
What's up, mama? You know what I'm saying? You got to come on. Oh, I'm coming.
She'll be here, too. Yeah.
So, what do you want to do next?
Movie, television. I'm sure that's not cliche, because that's what people who's.
What do you
want to do?
Want to do next?
I want to direct and act in my own films. I'm going to write them. Not every single thing I'm in, but I want to write, direct, and act in my own films.
Okay.
That's my goal. Yeah, that's the, and,
So that's what's next. What, when all of this shit is done, right? When we're old men telling stories. Remember when we were young and fat?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're joking, because we're going to be old and fit.
Yeah, facts.
And we laughing and we thinking back and we look at what we're getting awards for and we go down the hallway in that glass case with all the shit we were awarded.
Right.
What is your most prized award? If you have to tell from this point projecting forward, what is there? What's your opus?
I wanna be pivotal to my era. I want to be they think of this era, I guess the going into 2020 into the 2040. Excuse me on the belt. Hope that didn't pick up on the camera, but it probably did.
For sure it did.
Pardon me. Apologize.
It did.
Coffee. I want to be remembered that this dude is one of the reasons why urban comedy film is back. I want to do other stuff other than just urban film, but I definitely want to bring that back because I think it's been gone for a while. So when you think of like Friday or that era, you think of like F. Gary Gray. You think of Spike Lee from day one, but I mean, you think of F. Gary Gray, DJ Pooh, Ice Cube as producers and whatnot, and John Singleton, and I want to bring back that urban cinema, whether it's comedy, whether it's drama, and that
rest guy. Rest in peace, John Singleton.
Rest in peace, Brother Singleton, for sure. And I wanna be remembered as that guy, as one of the guys that brought it back. You know what I mean? So.
Well, I gotta tell you, you're on your way to that for sure.
I appreciate it, man.
You know, I thought you might have said something crazy, like I want to be the next Joker. Like, I was expecting something from outside. Joker. Right. Yeah, like, something out of the right field. Like, I want to be 007. Like, oh, okay, yeah. You're saying something that you're already kicking ass in that vein. Like, Robert Townsend probably watches your shit regularly.
That'd be lovely.
I'm just saying.
That'd be lovely.
We know Tyler Perry does.
That's crazy.
I'm not segueing. I'm just telling you, we know he does.
Right. I was surprised, though. I guess he would watch YouTube though and IG and shit like that. Mm-hmm. So I guess I shouldn't be surprised. But when he said it, I was like, oh, all right, bro. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
So I think you're on your way on that path. Is there something outside the box that's a strange caveat that you'd like? Is there some role you've been eyeballing? Is there a story you're like, man, I'd like to do the story of blah, 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 or I'd like to recreate that or redo that? Or
Not yet. I don't think because I have to start thinking deep, like who the hell could I play? Me being the size I am, even when I break down the weight and I'm in better shape,
you could be anybody you want to be.
I can't play fucking Sammy Davis Jr.
That'd be hilarious. you know what I mean?
That's a dope ass character. I would love to play.
Big ass rat pack.
If I right, nigga, that's a fucking wood rat. Nigga, you know what I'm saying? Enter bang bang. You know what I'm saying?
Bang bang. Like, yeah,
I feel like Sammy Davis Jr. Or Tommy Davidson would have done his biopic or one of the guys.
But he didn't. Which means it's still laying out there.
But could I play that? Could you say it would be hilarious? Do you want to be hilarious? Is a comedy, a wig on me and a patch, and put me in a tuxedo and have me tap dance.
Okay, so you got okay. So, you want to wait till you want to do the Ving Rhames story? You gonna wait until it? You're coming out with guns and butter.
I thought about Barry White, but my voice ain't deep enough. You know what I'm saying?
You do voiceover for you.
Yeah, I probably do. I could work on that. How you doing, girl? His shit was deep, nigga.
It wasn't deep in Holiday Heart.
No, I'm talking about Barry White.
Oh, okay. The Barry White story?
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can feast.
Oh,
you
do what? Come on, baby girl. I don't know. This is my little lady talking out of turn. You know what women be like, doing. I'm joking about the women part.
The Barry White story made her kick on.
She was Barry White, nigga, no, you can't do that. Hey, shit, damn, let's go over here.
That's funny.
But yeah.
Do it all, man.
I mean, we'll see. I'm down to do all that. I do want to do suspense drama. I want to do all genres.
And that's been your thing, but you haven't done it yet. Right. I've known that's been, you're like, man, I got one in me I want to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so we're coming up to where we wrap, but I just wanted to say that a lot of times in entertainment, when people come up together and, people are at different levels in their career or whatever, like, there's a competitive spirit, which is good, mm-hmm. but sometimes that can turn into a jealousy mm-hmm. or envy, or, you know, it can make somebody bitter, like, man, people from my class are passing me, or, you know, man, I used to such and such with that dude. But as you can hear from his stories, Namdi was his boy, mm-hmm. and knowledge-wise on production or producing surpassed you.
Absolutely.
And it was motivation for you.
Mm-hmm.
The negativity wasn't there.
Nah.
And the same goes for me, knowing how I know in our dynamic, how we mm-hmm. were, you know, we were the bros first, and you were like, Doc, I think I want to do comedy, and all of that,
mm-hmm.
To now where your footprint and what you're doing on the internet and thusly the world, I commend you for it. And
you,
I want to see nothing but success from you. And
yes,
where I can, if I can help, mm-hmm. you let me know. And if there's something in there for me to do, you know, I'm with that.
Oh, we already know.
But I want to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And I want to do it and be let you know that you can't fall.
Mm-hmm.
You may not, like, you don't, you know what I mean? You
yeah.
can't fall.
Okay.
I'm gonna catch you. I'm not saying you are, but you.
No. You, yeah.
you can't. You not. You may stumble or whatever. Like, I see your trajectory being just continuing to be out of this atmosphere. But at no point is there a way to fall or backtrack or wayside. I'm on it. I want you to win.
Yeah.
And as a cue, you know that means uplift in the most positive of
Absolutely.
Ways.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I love you.
Rudolph,
you know what
I love you back, dog.
Yeah.
For sure.
And so tell them where they can find you on social media and all that.
Man, you can find me on all platforms. Big Job, BiggJah. YouTube, IG, Facebook, TikTok.
Really?
I only got one video up though, but I'm about to put some more.
Crazy.
It's a video.
Bang my line, bang my line, bang my line, bang my line,
bang my line.
I said bang.
Yeah, I'll sing. Just because,
nah, like, you can sing too.
Man.
You can sing.
Hey, bro.
He swear he can't.
I can hold a note.
He's the shower captain. He be in the bathroom singing his ass.
That's my stage.
But the thing that's crazy is the shit he's singing is ridiculous. Like, yeah, I've woke up many mornings with you in the bathroom like, twiddly diddly 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 diddly. Is he doing this?
370-pound twiddly diddly ding? Yeah, that's me, man. I love my music, man. I wish I had the vocal power that you got, bruh. I can hold a note. I got a choir voice. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I can teach you how to get more out of your voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about diaphragm. And nigga, we got diaphragm.
We got the barrel diaphragm.
we got it.
Right.
Yeah, so follow him. It's a Big Job with 2 G's all over the place. If you don't know, tap in, get in, follow, subscribe.
Bang my line.
It'll be worth it. Every video's got a payoff, I promise.
I appreciate it, man. Yes, sir. To the max all day.
Thank you for listening to the Nate Jackson Podcasting Network.